You are listening to the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio.
This is an AZYEP podcast with your hosts, Kaden Smith and Penelope Mathis.
So I am a high school sophomore intern through AZYEP, and I've been a DJ for about 2 years, and this is my second year being an intern. And I really enjoy being in a work environment where I can take on projects independently.
I'm Penelope, and I'm a freshman, and this is my first year being a intern, and I've been a DJ since I was 8 years old, so that's 7 years now.
We are here with Will Grandbois and Kate Schwerin, who recently purchased the Crystal Theater as a nonprofit. We will talk about their plans for the theater, as well as the value of community gathering spaces and the arts. Okay. Will and Kate, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, let's kick this off. Could you guys start off by introducing yourself, your role at the theater, and your background in the arts?
So, I'm Kate Schwerin. I'm the executive director of Crystal Theater Alliance. I have a marketing and advertising background as a producer, so that kind of lends itself well to getting some things done and being very proactive about arts and art-related things and making sure that all comes through.
I'm Will Grandbois. I'm not sure. Okay. I'm Will Grandbois. I'm the general manager. My background, at least locally, is probably mostly known in newspaper journalism, but I've actually been working with the Crystal Theater for about 13 years on a part-time basis. So my background is very specific to the facility and the institution itself. So that's been, I'm here to help the transition be as smooth as possible. And so far, knock on wood, it's been all right.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Well, that's great. What do both of you value in the arts of theater?
For me, I grew up watching a lot of movies, like all the time. I've always loved movies. Actors stick in my brain and roles stick in my brain. Names and faces of people I meet and talk to do not stick in my brain as well for some reason. But I've always really enjoyed being able to be taken into the story, and movies really lend themselves to that. So movies have always been close to my heart, and actually I've kind of forgot how much I loved them until recently, because now I talk about movies all the time and it's really fun.
I think I like the collective aspect of cinema, both for the viewer, you know, being in a room together, responding together, but also the fact that it's an art form that requires so many people to make happen. You've got the people on screen, you've got the you know, the folks behind the camera, the editors, the people running errands in the background. It's a big process, and it brings in a lot of different elements. It's a sight, it's a sound, it's a lot. And you know, every art has its advantage, but there is something comprehensive about the experience of seeing a movie.
So I just have a quick little off-topic question, but just based on your background, what are your favorite movies?
Oh.
Or movie.
It's good that James asked us this.
I know. It kind of changes for me. It's really difficult. Well, so I have like a couple top fives. I do love The Royal Tenenbaums, like a lot. I love Fight Club. I also love Predator and like Terminator. I was a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan when I was a kid.
You know, for a movie that I could probably quote front to back, The Princess Bride is hard to beat.
Definitely.
It doesn't pass the Bechdel test. It's not a perfect film, but it's about as close as you can get from that particular era. I would also highlight To Kill a Mockingbird, one of the rare films that I think is actually better than the book it's based on, thanks to some really spectacular performances, some solid cinematography, a great score. Front to back, I enjoy the heck out of that film.
Yeah, well, I hope you guys play some good stuff, because I got a free ticket from the trivia night.
All right.
Yeah, but what is the Crystal Theater Alliance?
So we are a newly formed 501c3. We are now our own 501c3. When we first started, we were under the umbrella of the Third Street Center, and they were wonderful. And they allowed us the space to be able to fundraise and reach some goals while we were waiting for our official status. And it all kind of came around because the theater was for sale for a while. And, you know, a couple people I'd heard had wanted to buy it, and I wanted to buy it. I think everyone in town at some point wanted to buy it, which is really saying something about what a wonderful place it has been created by Bob and Kathy Ezra, and just how they kept it going and created that love for it for consistently for so long. And I think I'm not answering your question. Could you ask it again?
What's the Crystal Theater Alliance?
Oh, well, we're the nonprofit that's not running the theater now. So, you know, we have a lot of volunteers, and I think if anyone's interested in volunteering, we're there for you. We have a place for everybody. And we're going to be the community organization that's really looking to keep it going indefinitely. So not just for now, but really learning how to fill needs in the community with the space itself so that we can be more of a community hub, not just a movie theater.
Well, I know you just touched on this, Kate, but the previous owners, Bob and Kathy, they owned the theater for over 40 years, and we are very grateful for their contributions to the community. Could one of you share a little bit about the ownership transition process?
Yeah. So, you know, Bob and Kathy, as you said, had run it as a mom and pop for a long, long time, and were very community minded in that respect. You know, it didn't really feel like a for-profit in many ways, and supported community events and all that. I think they had hoped to transition off to somebody like them, but that didn't really exist. So we tried to create that, so the ownership transition took place a couple of weeks ago. We were only closed for one weekend. Bob and Kathy showed their last film, and then we did a transition couple of weeks, and then we opened The Roses. And hopefully for many people that felt almost seamless, like the only thing that folks should be noticing is different faces up front. We've got a thank you reel for our donors up and some different signage, but the goal was really to come in and do what they were doing, learn the ropes, get really good at the basics before we start adding more than we can chew. And I think we're doing a good job of that.
What was the process like for you, Kate, the transition process of ownership?
Well, this is where I think Will has really stepped up and done a great job because of his experience at the theater already, and then just, you know, kind of his innate ability to organize and talk with people and really get that going. It's been seemingly seamless. You know, there's a lot of things that I do behind the scenes that are very unfun and not glamorous, but they're the kinds of things you need to do to make sure that a business is running. And while we are a nonprofit, there are very, very many, there are a lot of things that are business-like, and the business of running something, running an organization, is still there. So it's wonderful. We have so much interest from the community in using the space and renting it on their own, and we've been able to find time slots and dates for that. So it's been pretty great, and it's just so much excitement. Every time I go in to talk to Will, it's really fun to be there.
Yeah, I think what Kate's alluding to that I would also like to acknowledge is the amount of work she's put in on insurance, on agreements with studios, on, yes, the process has not been a light lift, but it the idea is for that to be a little bit invisible. We have a great set of volunteers, and they're really stepping up. Yeah, people are noticing that there's different folks serving them popcorn, and that we're taking credit cards a little more easily than we used to. But hopefully those are Those are within the realm of what folks can handle in terms of change all at once.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I would like to touch on the business aspect of the transition process for a second. One of you could answer this. What was the significance of starting the CTA as a nonprofit instead of a business?
You know, that's an excellent question. And a multifaceted one, really. So the movie theater industry is a tough one to begin with. Trending, it's not necessarily like a booming industry. And then to be a single screen theater on top of that makes it particularly tricky. So there's a reason you don't see a lot of single screen movie theaters left in the country. They have just been squeezed out by several different factors. You have that, and you also have this community love for it. So when I first started thinking about, like, maybe seriously buying the theater and talking to some other people that thought they might want to buy the theater with me, you know, we got into numbers and programming, what that could look like. And in speaking with some of the single screen theaters that are left in the country, they're already nonprofits. It is the model for a movie theater. And actually a lot of independent theaters, so even if they're multi-screen, are also independent theaters already. So they had a lot of advice for us, and Will and I started talking about them and started talking to them. And Will at some point floated the idea of doing it as nonprofit. He's like, well, why wouldn't you do it as nonprofit? And I'm like, yeah, it seems like it could be a good idea. And I was still doing some research at the time. And the more research I did and the more we all thought about other ways the space could serve the community, it just seemed to make more sense to reach out to the community to help run it as well. And I think that kind of group ownership of a space like that really can keep it going indefinitely. You know, you build the love from everybody, not just from a handful of people.
Yeah, I remember Marty Silverstein giving me a call like 2 weeks after Bob and Kathy put the place on the market and pitching the nonprofit idea to me, and I went, they're really looking for like a mom and pop, and I'm sorry, Marty, kind of dismissed him at the time. And by 6 months later, we'd seen all of these potential buyers come in, and each of them had a little bit of what the Crystal needed. They had the passion, or they had the sense of community, or they had the money, or they had the logistics. But nobody had everything that it needed. And I went, man, maybe a nonprofit is the way you put all of these people together to do this thing. And Kate agreed. Kate didn't dismiss me. That was nice.
Yeah. Well, we would love to know what you guys are planning to transform or upgrade space in this transition process right now.
Yeah, well, right now, you know, we're just learning the process. We're a small group. We want to make sure we don't bite off more than we can chew. And for lack of a better metaphor, sink the ship. So we are starting off slow. We're adding cinema-based programming, things that we're already set up to do. We're still continuing to fundraise because other ways to reach the community will take a little bit of infrastructure upgrade. And so we're still going to just keep going on that.
We do have, we have a lineup coming up in October and November. I've counted like 17 special events in about 6 weeks. It's a good chance for us to try things out, to see how, again, totally cinema events like repertory programming. We have The Great Gatsby coming next week as part of Potato Day. But also we have our first, sort of speaker and a totally non-cinema event coming up in a collaboration with Katie and Kay, actually. We're going to try these things out, and we're going to see what works, and we're going to see what our infrastructure supports, and then we're also going to see what needs improvement. We don't have special lighting at the moment for a presenter. Our sound system is very tuned for film, and our screen is this big, fragile thing at the back of the auditorium that we need to protect.
Yeah.
And so those are all things we're going to have to take into consideration as we move forward and figure out how to work around and figure out what the best ways to make ourselves multi-use, to make ourselves as useful in as many different ways as possible to the community while not compromising the theater-going experience. Yeah. We still want, when you come to the movies, for it to feel like the Crystal Theater you've known for 40 years.
Yeah, we're looking at this first year of operations as a good time to test and see what works and what fills some needs. So we're really looking for that, and if you could bear with us, that would be great too. But also come to us with your ideas. Let us know.
Yeah, well, what are your views on these spaces that are dedicated to the arts?
I think they're one of the reasons Carbondale and the Valley in general is such a wonderful place. Without supporting arts in all the different ways we do it here, it wouldn't be what it is. It wouldn't be Carbondale.
I think they're the connective tissue. You can get by, and practical needs are important, but institutions like the Crystal Theater, like KD&K, like ASYEP, are what bring people together. They're what connect us to the country and the world at large. They enrich our lives in really kind of ineffable ways that obviously I'm struggling to put into words, but I think it's worth engaging in. And I also, we're really thrilled to be part of a community that offers so many different things. To not have to, as some of these institutions in other towns that are nonprofits, are trying to do everything. And we have all these great partners to work with that have the expertise in whichever field it is that they're bringing, whether they're an arts nonprofit or, you know, we're doing an event maybe with Roaring Fork Conservancy or Roaring Fork Kayak Club has an event coming up pretty soon. They want to share something, and we have the capacity to help them share it. And that's awesome. That's a really cool thing to be part of.
So do you think that the community that we are in just really reflects the support the Crystal Theater has been given?
I think that the support that the Crystal Theater has been given reflects the community. I think it's I think it's a lovely feedback loop, and obviously this can help and happen elsewhere, but it's the way it's happening here is kind of special.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I read an article about the both of you in the Post Independent and about the transition process. And I was intrigued by what you said about preserving historic spaces in our community, and I was wondering if one of you could touch on that a little bit.
Well, I guess I have my other hat of being the outgoing president of the Historical Society here in Carbondale. The preservation of historic spaces is such a range. You can take the full extreme of leaving things exactly as they are, preserving them for future consideration. You know, we've been able to do that with the Thompson House, and that's awesome. We also have spaces like the Dingle Building, which I think have been this living history for a really long, long time. There's nothing in that building that's exactly what it was 100 years ago, but the bank vault is a very prominent aspect of Steve's guitars. The old potato lift is a big aspect of Bonfire Coffee. The flower shop has been a flower shop for a long, long time. The Nugget has been a bar and been called the Nugget intermittently for a long, long time. So that continuity, that sense that, sure, maybe it's not the same owner, maybe it's not the same exact setup, it's still a living history. I would like to believe that if somebody from 1980 was teleported, well, not 1985 was teleported to 2025, they would feel a little bit at home on that block of Main Street.
And was that part of your goal during the transition process? Is that one of your goals, is to preserve the historic aspect of the building?
You know, we don't own the building, so I can't say that we're able to do that inherently, but we can preserve the historic aspect of the theater and carry that on. And you know, I talk about somebody teleporting from 1985, but there's a lot of people here who were here in 1985, and I want them to continue to feel at home in that space.
And I think what we're going to continue doing with the theater is kind of the historical aspect of it being part of a community and it being on Main Street for as long as it has. It's actually been there since 1949 as the Crystal Theater. The theater we know and love today is totally because Bob and Kathy cultivated the culture around it, but it has been there for quite a long time. And while we aren't necessarily preserving the building or the look and feel of it exactly, we're going to want to preserve that kind of love and community gathering space that it is.
Yeah, I mean, Kate mentions the pre-Ezra years, and you know, the Kate and Kay hosted a talent show there for a couple of years in I think the late 70s. You know, there are folks here who saw screenings from its original version when it crammed twice as many seats into that little space. It's there's a lot of heritage, and we've spoken to folks who I guess is what the great granddaughter of some of the folks who ran that theater way back in the day. We're interested in its history, and so would love to hear more if there are folks out there that know more.
Yeah, and if anyone has pictures of the talent show or pre-1980, we would love to see those too. You know, get in touch.
Yeah, well, I would like... So what do the both of you imagine the future of the theater looking like?
Well, movies always near and dear to us. We always want to be a movie theater and play first-run movies, which are new movies, and also pepper in some really great repertory, which are the old movies. So, or I should say classics. We want to play a lot of classics, and classics can be 10 years old or they can be 100 years old. So we're going to spice up some variety of movies and make sure those are always first and foremost. But, you know, there's still a lot of time during the day when the space is empty. So what we're thinking is partnering with organizations like ASIEP or Roaring Fork High School or Bridges or, you know, people we've been talking to on and off the past year since we've started this and figure out what are the actual programs that we can do during the day that will really spread out into the community.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope is, you know, both to secure its future by using it having folks engage with it, and to make sure that it's serving the community to the best of its potential. And that's going to be an ongoing and kind of never-ending effort, but one step at a time.
Well, that's great to hear. Thank you. Do you have any highlights or stories from the first few weeks of operation?
Well, the mother of one of the ASIEP employees did bring some, like, custom swag for our volunteers to wear on our opening weekend, made out of candy containers. I thought that was pretty fabulous.
And on our first night, I was fortunate enough to actually watch the movie the whole hallway through. You know, as a volunteer, sometimes you miss like the first 5 minutes or the last 10 minutes, but just laughing that much with in a group and like sharing that kind of laughter with a big group was really great. And you're like, this is why you like to go to the movies.
I also really enjoyed the Tuesday before we opened, we had a little kind of pre-training orientation thing for a lot of our volunteers, and having them engage and get excited about the whole process was fun, as was, you know, you mentioned trivia. We had trivia last night in the space and had about 8 teams there, and there's room for growth and room for rethinking. But every time we do something that engages folks and gets people excited, I get excited. And the possibilities really open up.
Yeah, I would like to know something that you would really want to do in the future, like something that would be your dream to do with this theater.
I would love for you guys to do a live radio broadcast and a live show, you know, whether it's acting out a story or something that's similar to Prairie Home Companion with a live studio audience, and whether that's a live broadcast or live to tape, I think that would be super fun.
You know, I have just an extensive list of movies that I really want to see in the space. Yeah, I guess my excitement is a lot in that. I would like to see trivia continue to grow. I would like to see it involved with clips, maybe a little broader than just film and into, you know, television and you know, media, and really take advantage of that screen. I can't think of, like, I'm surprised you didn't say Rocky Horror, but I guess it's happening.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you don't
I'm also
have
really
to...
excited about Rocky Horror Picture Show. I just love campy movies, and Tim Curry's amazing, and I haven't seen it play anywhere near here for a while, so I think it's going to be great. That's going to be, you know, where it's... That's definitely coming up. Oh, and I forgot to say, one of the things I loved about the first week operations was popcorn. All of the popcorn I get to eat all the time.
I think I'll add, actually, on terms of things that I'm really looking forward to, are the premieres. The small town, you know, locally created movie content that we can highlight. And the folks that go off to L.A. from the locally and create something cool that we can celebrate. I know that there's a few of those out there and a few things coming down the pike that we'll get to really celebrate local folks who are being creative.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you guys in the studio with us today. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. But, yeah, thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you to everybody who tuned into our show. Go make sure to watch some movies.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
If you like what you heard today, I also have a show on the first Wednesday of each month called The Ripple Effect, where I sit down with impactful people who are creating waves in their communities, industries, and lives. Thank you.